Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A winner in the Copper Basin 300 sled dog race is expected around midday, with leading teams out of the race's final checkpoint at Chistochina and headed over the last 50 miles to the finish line in Glen Allen. According to the race website, after 4 hours of rest at Chistochina, two-time defending champion Nicholas Petit left the checkpoint in the lead at 7:38 this morning, followed by Brent Sass nearly 30 minutes back at 8:07 a.m. The next two mushers, who are running about 2 and 3 hours back, respectively, are Ryan Olson and Ali Zirkel. Matthew Failer is another half hour back in fifth place. Of the 28 teams that started the Copper Basin 300 Saturday morning, 9 are listed as scratched. Temperatures in excess of 50 below zero were reported along the race trail over the weekend. A Fairbanks woman was reported missing over the weekend. According to a post by the Fairbanks Police Department, officers went to conduct a welfare check on 30-year-old Kristen Marie Huntington Friday, but she was not at home and is considered missing and at risk. They say Huntington was last seen leaving work around 8 p.m. last Wednesday and subsequently believed to have been seen by neighbors on Friday. Weekend posts by friends and family of Huntington say she did not show up for work Thursday or Friday and that they began looking in the area near her apartment on B Street in the Hamilton Acres neighborhood. The search effort continues. Alaska State Troopers have released some additional information about their fatal shooting of a man during an arrest attempt last week in Delta Junction. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Troopers aren't saying much about Tuesday's fatal shooting, citing the ongoing investigation. But they disclosed some of the events leading up to the death of 59-year-old Daniel Dwayne Jensen Jr., who was wanted on an outstanding felony warrant charging multiple counts of first and second degree sexual abuse of a minor under age 13. A Troopers news release issued Friday says two members of a U.S. Marshal Fugitive Task Force that was looking for Jensen fired their weapons while trying to arrest him. They are Jack LeBlanc, an investigator with the statewide drug enforcement unit's Fairbanks Narcotics Team, and Nathan Werner, a North Pole police officer and Fairbanks Narcotics Team member. Troopers spokesman Ken Marsh says the shooting occurred soon after task force members began a door-to-door search for Jensen among several structures on a remote property near milepost 1399 of the Alaska Highway.
And while they were searching those structures, Jensen was actually seen with another individual through a window.
Marsh wouldn't say whether the other person seen with Jensen was held or arrested in connection with the case.
Jensen spotted law enforcement approaching, and he apparently grabbed a high-powered rifle. And when he did that, that led to law enforcement opening fire.
The two officers who fired their weapons both were placed on 72 hours of paid leave, as is routine for shootings involving police. The Alaska Bureau of Investigation's looking into the case. When that investigation's completed, it'll be reviewed by the State Office of Special Prosecutions. In Delta, I'm Tim Ellis.
A Nome man is charged with killing his girlfriend. Citing charging documents, KNOM reports that Tyler Schold called Nome police early last Wednesday morning and said he had choked his girlfriend, 24-year-old Anna Matumialuk, and believed she was dead. Police say Schold pled with responding officers to save Matumialuk, but resuscitation efforts by police and EMS providers were unsuccessful. Schold, who was observed to be under the influence of alcohol, was arrested and jailed on a first-degree murder charge. An ordinance to terminate the City of Fairbanks Public Safety Commission is before the City Council tonight. Mayor Jim Matherly and Councilmember Jerry Cleworth proposed the repeal. KUAC's Robin reports.
The council has one seat on the commission, held by City Councilmember Shoshana Kuhn. She says the council has been reviewing all city boards and commissions recently with an eye on expense and effectiveness. She had wanted to see the Public Safety Commission continue.
If Councilmember Cleworth and Mayor Matherly feel this commission is no longer serving the purpose it was set out for, we're going to vote on it. I have spoken against sunsetting it, but at this point I'm going to support it.
The ordinance before the council says the purpose of the commission has changed since it was first set up in 2003. That was to advise the mayor and the council on public safety issues. In the past, the commission has discussed the city's police and fire departments and how they might improve, as well as emergency medical and dispatch services. It is supposed to receive and analyze public comments and complaints and make recommendations to the mayor and city council. But the commission has been meeting only quarterly and is often skipped by citizens who take their complaints directly to the city council.
If our citizens feel that this commission is important enough to retain, they will come to us and let us know that.
City resources are used as representatives from the police and fire departments, and sometimes other city agencies, prepare reports for commission meetings. Currently, the commission has seats for 5 public members, a 6th for someone with fire expertise, and a 7th for someone with legal expertise. The 8th seat is held by someone on the city council who does not get to vote on commission business. Currently, the commission has 2 vacancies, which might not be filled. If the council votes to pass the repeal ordinance tonight, the commission will close on Saturday, January 18th. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Backers of an effort to recall Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy got a win in Anchorage Superior Court on Friday. A judge rejected arguments by the Dunleavy administration that the basis for recall was legally insufficient. Though the ruling allows the recall Dunleavy campaign to move forward, opponents are expected to appeal to the Alaska Supreme Court. Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports.
The recall effort has been on hold since the Alaska Division of Elections, based on advice from Attorney General Kevin Clarkson, decided in November that the initiative did not meet legal standards. Judge Eric Arseth reversed that ruling from the bench.
The recall process is fundamentally a political process. This is not an issue for the judicial branch to decide.
Arseth pointed to court precedents that tend to trust the public to make decisions about removing officials from office. But no one thinks this is the end of the issue, with an appeal to the higher court likely in the near future. Lawyers for the state, as well as a group formed to defend Dunleavy called Stand Tall with Mike, have a few main points. Ballot statements can only have 200 words, and they say in its current form the language is too vague and broad. Brewster Jamison is one of the lawyers for Stand Tall with Mike. He argued that since the language in the recall initiative isn't specific enough, it amounts to just unfair innuendos.
They lack particularity. They engage in a redefinition of the statutory grounds, and they attack discretionary acts and non-existent laws.
Jamison and a lawyer from the state said that in order to fit multiple allegations into the 200-word limit, essential information and evidence is being left out, depriving voters of important context. Jamison also says that because terms like neglect and incompetence are not defined in the ballot language, the recall Dunleavy campaign leaves the charges open to interpretation. Arguing on behalf of the campaign, John Lindemuth, the former attorney general under Bill Walker, says the current administration and attorney general have sought to quash the recall by changing the rules of the game when it comes to past legal decisions.
This is not a recall based on policy disagreements, but actual violations of the law.
The judge had already read the legal briefs from both sides, and after oral arguments, it only took 10 minutes before he returned to the bench and gave the recall campaign the green light to move forward. Arseth said the signature booklets have to be sent out by February 10th, although that could be slowed down if opponents request and are granted a stay by the state Supreme Court. Organizers need to get support from more than 71,000 qualified voters in order to bring the recall to an election. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
And I'm Dan Bross.